The past year for the NFL, which is a strong year, as well as the budget for next year, and pretty significant increase because of the new TV contracts kicking in, as well as the Thursday night package. And the Thursday night package was something we voted on. I'll talk about that in a second. And under the financial update, we had a couple votes, extended the manifest policy. Doesn't affect the Packers, but where teams can lower the manifest 85%, and you know, a number of teams across the league have done that. And then a policy change on the postseason play, just kind of was pretty relevant to us because of the situation we had. Basically, what the league approved for all teams was what we were going to move to, which is the pay-as-we-play policy. So we were very supportive of it. I think it's going to be something that's very good for the league. You know, we saw some of the issues with that. Talked a little bit about variable pricing. Teams, looks like six teams so far have said they're going to move to it. Basically, they're reducing the price of preseason. You know, and really to put the ticket pricing more in line with the secondary market, and obviously the preseason, the prices there, I think will be much more be a very, very positive for fans. We have not made a change, but that's something we're looking at for future years. Then we had an update from the broadcast committee. Ratings were very strong again, and then the Thursday night package had probably the most detail that we've heard about that. I think a lot of you know about some of the changes there. The partnership with CBS, I think we're all feel pretty good that that's going to be a positive for the league. And, the vote there was actually had to have a vote to, I guess it's a sub-license from the NFL Network to CBS. So there'll be I think there will be a total of it'll be 16 games, but two will end up being – there'll be a Saturday doubleheader as well as 14 Thursday games.
16 Thursday night games?
Yes.
And
yeah.
How many will be not on Thursday?
There will be a doubleheader on Saturday at the end of the season.
Yeah. Okay, so
I think it's the 16th week. Yeah. But they're not there's two NBC Thursday night games. So I think there's 14 on CBS, and so it's split. Seven early in the season are on CBS, and then simulcast on NFL Network, and then the seven at the end of the season are on NFL Network. And one of the things I think, obviously the NFL is, put a lot of time and effort and support in the NFL Network, so we didn't want to do anything that would damage or hurt the NFL Network. So I think they structured this in a way where, it's really going to help promote NFL Network as well as NFL football, throughout the year. And I think, the Thursday night, it was pretty impressive what CBS is going to do for that. And it'll be kind of the same thing every game. Every team will play one Thursday night game at least. Although I think there'll be at least two teams will play more than one a Thursday night game, but only have one where they would have a short week.
Does the pay-as-you-play policy take effect immediately?
For the next preseason, yeah.
And Mark, just to clarify.
It's not retroactive, though.
Just to clarify, you said you guys are considering maybe variable pricing for preseason, but that would not be for 2020?
Yeah, that wouldn't be this year. It would be we want to see how it works for the teams that are going to it this year.
The pay-as-you-play is for next year's postseason.
Postseason, yeah.
And you had decided that was you wanted to move in that direction?
Yeah. We, based on the survey and the information, we got some really good information back from our fans. It was, we've talked about it. It's a number of different things coming together. But, I do think the policies together, the fact that you have to pay for both games in November when the invoices go out, and then the refund policy, and so this way, if you really look, you think about it, the technology is there now. It was really antiquated that we you didn't have this pay-as-you-play in policy, pay-as-we-play policy in place. So I think it's a really good move for the league.
I think it's a problem in turning this around. If you were to win a game and then, well, you will host one the next week, you can turn it around that quickly?
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, we got the credit card information.
And you kind of did it anyway. I mean, you had 40.
Yeah, I know.
And I know it didn't quite go the way you wanted it to, but you basically did that, right, this year?
Yeah, we had all but 15,000 tickets sold. So we only had 15,000, so we ended up having to sell almost 50,000, in a short period of time.
So will invoices not be sent out to season ticket holders until you make the playoffs?
No, what'll happen, and I don't know all the exact details, but so the information will be sent out. You know, it could even be done in your preseason, or when you send it out before the season. Is if you let us know if you want us to charge your credit card if we make the playoffs. But more likely it would be, in November, and just say, it looks like we may make the playoffs, might host a game. Do you want us to charge your credit card if we? But it'd only be charged if we actually play the game.
And it'd only be for one game.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting. But I think it'll be an improvement for fans.
Was everybody in the room on board with that?
Yeah, it was 32-0 vote. Yeah.
Who are the six teams? Is that public?
Yeah, I think it's come out. The ones that have gotten most publicity, because they've actually, I think, even set their prices, Detroit. They reduced their preseason ticket pricing by 70%, I believe. But, their overall ticket price went up, I think, 8%. And then New England is doing it. That's something. I have a lot of respect for, the Crafts in New England. So, when they move towards something like this, I think a lot of people across the league take note of that.
Mark, what do you perceive to be the number one issue facing the league, confronting the league as they meet here this week?
Well, I think, financially, we're in really sound shape. I still think the biggest issue is the health and safety. We'll have votes tomorrow or discussion on some of the safety initiatives. But, I think when you look at the bigger picture, some of the concerns about, the drop-off in participation in youth football. One of the big things that came out of today was an announcement about the $45 million grant to USA Football for the Heads Up Football program. I think for the future of football, that's really a sound investment.
Do you have any talk this meeting's about stadium enhancements? I know the Wi-Fi has to be up to a certain point soon. Yeah. Are they still talking about devices? Anything within the stadium?
Well, that's probably, I would say, is the other big issue is the in-game experience. Well, not even just the in-game. I'd say the whole game day experience, making sure that, that it continues to advance. Tom, one of the big issues is connectivity. I think, especially our younger fans are used to being connected all the time. And so, everybody's got different issues. But, I think for us, having primarily the single bowl presents some issues that, we're working with the cell phone coverage. I think that's going to get better, and the Wi-Fi we're working on as well.
What are your thoughts on Mark Cuban's comments on oversaturation, overexposure?
I don't know. I guess I'm better. I watch him a lot on Shark Tank, so I know he's... I guess I would say, I think as a league, we have to be cautious. I mean, obviously, we're in a very strong position now. I think some of the initiatives and the growth have been well thought out. And, I think we, we're optimistic and hopeful that, you know, we'll be able to continue to grow the game and have it continue on without risk of having a downturn or some issues in the future.
There are no thoughts about an increase in Thursday night games and that being too much.
Well, if you look at it, Vic, I mean, really, we've had Thursday night games. I think we had 13 this past season, so it's not a huge change. The biggest change is that they're going on to broadcast TV, so it should make it more more easy for people to watch games. But I think there are only so many. Well, there's a set number of games every weekend, and only so many of them are really good matchups. So. But I tell you, now he's an old Colgate guy, Colgate alum, so I give him a lot of credit. Howard Katz does an unbelievable job in terms of finding good matchups and trying to keep all the networks happy is a challenge.
As a Cuban's business background, mm-hmm. you don't dismiss his comments necessarily out of hand. You at least.
Well, I would say, setting aside his comments, just generally, I think you have to kind of. Make sure that you're not oversaturating, and so I think that's why I think when you look at the changes and the moves that the league has made, it's usually pretty well thought out and not trying to do whatever we can. I think you want to make sure that it's planned and thought out. And you look at the track record. I mean, the league, the popularity of the league in recent years has remain very strong.
What have you thought about your offseason so mm-hmm. far, the Packers in general? What's been your thoughts of
Well, I was disappointed that I was hoping it would be a little shorter, that we would have played in the playoffs a little longer. From the business side, I've been pleased, with progress we've been able to make on our projects, and obviously with the atrium renovation moving along. I think in terms of football, been able to enter into agreements with a number of key free agents from our team, and then obviously bringing in a couple players from other teams that should help us, I think it's Ted and Russ have done a really outstanding job in terms of managing the cap, and so I think they've positioned us pretty well to continue to have success into the future.
Mark, Ted and Russ like to pay as they go.
Sure.
In good cap shape. Is there also a value to having guys? Neil got a 2-year deal. Some of these other guys got shorter deals too. Is there a value in that? I know you're an ex-player, but when you know that you will either get another bite at the free agency apple or you have to prove yourself a little more. Is there value in that, in kind of the shorter deals?
Yeah, I know as a player, the shorter deals, no, there's no question. Yeah, I mean, there's some risk, but there's also a very big incentive if you play well. And it's a lot different now than when I was playing. Now it's to get to free agency, but... I think probably does make sense. And it was a compromise, I think, from obviously think players, you want the long contract and security, but you can't always get it. So, position themselves, you're right. Like you said, a number of those players should be highly motivated to play well.
Ted usually leaves the meetings early.
He has a personal matter that he's dealing with, but he is fine. I mean, he's able to work, he just can't travel. No.
Mark, you mentioned about the revenues and the financial shape, but do you see that having a significant increase on the cap in future years now with the way you're positioned, the new TV deals, et cetera?
With the new TV deals, I think – the revenue should grow at a steady rate over the next 8 to 10 years. It's hard to tell though because Yeah, but I do anticipate that the salary cap will grow. Maybe not as won't jump as much as it did this year. That was much larger. I think a big part of that was the Thursday night package that was kind of came out of nowhere or hadn't actually been anticipated. But you know, a lot of that, you know, sometimes there's discussions with the Players Association and some benefits will be included or taken out, and that can adjust you know, the level of the cap.
Has the committee gone over its proposals and ideas in terms of the rule changes, and then when will that specifically be voted on? Will that be Wednesday?
Yes, we have gone over it several times. So, and you know, had a lot of it's really the process. Has really been interesting. It's been this is my third year, but really a second time being through the full process. So, you know, the meeting in Indianapolis, and then a week meeting in Naples, and now here. And so you really get a lot of input, and you know, by the time you get here, it's things have really been debated, and you have a pretty good feel about how things are going to go in terms of the votes.
Mark, did you get a chance to meet Julius Peppers when you came to the
stadium? No, I mean, it kind of came in under the cover of darkness and had some troubles. I've exchanged text messages with him, but he is very excited to be in Green Bay. And, you know, I think some of his public comments have kind of talked about that. But, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that really well, first of all, he's very excited about coming to Green Bay, and I think the chance to win a Super Bowl, he's probably accomplished about everything you can in an NFL career short of winning a Super Bowl. So hopefully we can help him achieve that.
When Tim told you that, what went through your head? You know, you've lost guys to Minnesota, you know, and here you're taking a guy from Chicago.
Yeah, well, we've seen them a lot. So, no, I, you know, again, it's, you know, those are decisions that Ted makes, and, you know, I was very supportive of it. You know, I think the connection there with Turgo and, you know, his desire to play in a 3-4 and do some different things on defense should be exciting. Exciting to see how that unfolds, and I know our fans are excited with it.
Can I clarify one thing on the variable pricing for the future? Is that for preseason and regular season
games? Yeah.